D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Be sure to be listening this hour, because we do have a pair of Predators tickets to give away to Saturday's home game against the Montreal Canadiens. So if you want those tickets, do not turn that dial. You have a chance to win them this hour. In the meantime, let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, who is fueled by Parman Energy. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. Hi, TD. How are you? TD, you there?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. There you go, TD. How are you?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you. Can you hear us?
Okay. Yeah, I got you now. Sorry about that.
No problem. It's the magic of live radio. So, TD, at this time last year, it was a foregone conclusion that the Titans were drafting Cam Ward with the number one overall pick. Obviously, it's different this year because the Titans have the number four pick. But based on what you have heard, which player do you think has the inside track to be the number four overall pick at this moment?
Yeah, I would say it's David Bailey. They need the pass rush, and he's the guy that fits the most. And, you know, he's someone that I know they covet. Obviously, you have other pass rushers on the board, but David Bailey matches what they need and where they need to go. So I would say he's the top one, followed closely by Jeremiah Love.
You hear that, Derek?
Yes, I do.
Derek Mason very
It would have
much
been better if he had said Jeremiah Love and then closely
followed by David Bailey.
Absolutely. It would have been better.
I completely understand that. So, Teron, you wrote a story at ESPN.com the other day talking about Wandale Robinson and his new relationship with Titans quarterback Cam Ward. You wrote in the story that Brian Daboll played a part in Wandale Robinson choosing to sign with the Titans in free agency. And you mentioned the creativity that Daboll showed before being fired last season when Malik Nabers went down with injury and how they had to integrate Wandale Robinson into some new situations. How do you think that could help the Titans this year with Daboll and Robinson being reunited?
Well, you know, it's going to help them a lot. And I think one of the things that you have to go back to is an issue before when we talked about problems with the offensive line, right? Or getting sacked, right? It wasn't just the offensive line. You had a bit of a lack of creativity as far as like different rub routes and different things, you know, close splits, bunch formation to get guys open more. And I tell you what's pretty interesting. That's something that they did a lot of with the Giants and Brian Daboll. And Wandale Robinson, he even said the one time that, you know, there's times where he lines up outside, but even when he's lining up outside, there's still somebody outside of him, so he's not in that space by himself. And so there's different things that they do to get him the free release. And I think if you go back, you watch the Saints game, that was a fun game to watch. I mentioned it before, and you had Alante Taylor playing the slot. And, you know, a lot of the routes that Wandale Robinson, you know, was running from that slot position with Robinson on him, you know, you had those jerk routes or whip routes and things like that. It's just a spacing thing, and they do a lot to get guys open quickly, and that's something else that he said, get open quickly and have the quarterback get rid of the ball faster, and that just helps the offensive line because it's a lot easier to protect for, you know, under 2 seconds as opposed to three with a lot of the longer developing routes that you saw from the team last year.
Now, TD, the Titans made a few signings over the last week. Linebacker Mohamed Dabate, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. You'll be able to better tell me. And Austin Dukullis, and they re-signed Julius Chestnut. What can you tell us about the first two? We know Chestnut has been here. And was Chestnut more of a, hey, listen, if we know you got a role for this team, you're going to be a part of this team. And I guess he sort of fits the role.
Yeah, no, Chestnut would be more of a third or fourth running back, a special teams contributor. In fact, that's where he had the injury before, you know, on special teams. That's where he hurt his ankle. So you have that, and he gives him the size, and it's another body to have during training camp. And, you know, he's a preseason rusher specialist. You know, he's led the league in rushing yards before in preseason. So you have that. Yeah, so that's the role he plays. He's not as much of the Natron Means like player that I jokingly referenced before with him, but he's still like a solid player. And then I think you look at Austin Deculus, that's Ali Udoh's replacement, right? He's a swing tackle. He'll probably be there on tackle eligible plays. Funny thing, a couple years ago with Houston, he recovered a ball in the end zone, and it would have been a touchdown, but they didn't rule it one when he was with the Texans playing the Titans right there at Nissan Stadium. So you had that, and like I said, he's a swing guy. And then when you look at the linebacker, he's more of a special teams guy. He does give you coverage. You know, he's 6'4", 225, so that's definitely going to impact passing lanes, right, you know, if he has to carry any receivers or tight ends down the seam.
Now, what has been your sense of the Titans from outside of sort of this bubble here in Nashville, now that the preseason, but free agency has pretty much wound down, at least for the first run, and then they get into another one. But what is sort of the sense of how the Titans are looked at now based upon what they've done via free agency?
Yeah, big spenders. That's the big thing. You know, everybody looks at the money that has been spent, and that's what the focal point is. And I mean, look, like you gotta pay, especially with how the market is going as far as the salary cap. So a lot of people, when they look at it, they like the moves. They like the Wandale Robinson. They see the match and they're trading for Jermaine Johnson. Those trades, you know, that trade worked. There are some who feel that it was a lopsided trade in the Jets' favor, but you know, it just kind of is what it is. They fill some different holes, but the question mark is still on the offensive line. I'm not overly familiar with Austin Slotman, but, you know, from what I understand and what I've seen, is he's not a marquee front line type of center. He's a guy that, you know, he could start for you. I'll put it that way, but it's not something like you're like, hey, man, let's take on Quinnen Williams and, you know, let's take on Aaron Donald and hey, he's going to make Jeffrey Simmons better. No, it's not that. It's going to be interesting just watching the way that they work that. And obviously the right guard situation, Kevin Zeitler, in my opinion, needs to be back in Nashville. But, I mean, Jackson Slater is a guy that was highly decorated coming out of Sac State. So you do have that. We'll see.
Teron Davenport is with us, and Teron, as you continue to prepare for the draft, which is still a few weeks away here, is there a guy in your mind that you think when they start having the pro days, they start having the workouts and things like that, that will move up the board? Because it seems like we see this every year. There's somebody that changes how we think on March 23rd by the time April rolls around.
Yeah, you know, I would be cautious about guys moving up the board this late unless it's someone that you have a new exposure to. So sometimes that happens where a guy run a fast 40 and you go back and like, hey, wait a minute, that actually is showing on tape, you know. But when I look at these guys, there aren't really – I mean, oh, well, yeah, you could say Mansoor Delane. I mean, he ran that 4.38, 4.35, you know, and that's awfully impressive for a corner that's aggressive, that likes to come up and tackle. You guys saw him when LSU came here, you know, and they played Vanderbilt. And of course, they lost, but, you know, he had a pretty solid game.
Anything else that you're looking for in the coming weeks when the Titans start bringing their people in? How do you try to evaluate who maybe is grabbing some traction and who maybe is just there for show?
Yeah, I don't really necessarily believe in bringing guys in for show. I think that's usually, you know, to get to know them. I mean, it's a true visit. I don't see them, you know, as folks that waste their time and effort bringing somebody in. So I don't think there's any show. I think, you know, obviously Jeremiah Love has been here. David Bailey will be here eventually. Bane and Keontae Scott and those guys, they had their pro day today, and Akeem Mezador. So that's down there in Miami today. So you do have those. But I don't think anything's show. I think everything is authentic. I mean, there's interest.
What have you learned? Let's say that it's Bailey and Love that are the two guys most considered by them. What have you learned about the makeup of both guys? I think we've all learned a lot about what they do well and where they're from and all that stuff, but the makeup of the player, what have we learned?
Yeah, I think when you look at Bailey, he's a pretty polished pass rusher. And what I've learned is that he has a well-tuned rush scheme, you know, and that he has ways that he wants to set things up. He does rely on the speed, but that speed gives him power. And then off of that, he has a spin move inside. I've heard like Dwight Freeney comparisons. And I've just learned that he's a guy that's just like, he's just going to go out there raw dog and play ball. You know, as far as Jeremiah Love is concerned, you got the competitor. You know, his dad has been a driving force. And he's a guy that wants to score every time he touched the ball. I remember asking him, you know, about some of his long runs. And that's what he said, man. Every time I touch it, I want to score. Like, my goal is to make it a house call. And the thing I like about him is he's able to balance that to where, like, he'll try to score, of course, but you're not seeing him press too much. You know what I mean? And the patience is still there, which is something that's a supreme characteristic of a running back.
Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation Titans reporter, has been our guest on D-Mace, Ving, and Donahue joins us every Monday and is fueled by Parman Energy. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. TD, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
All right, appreciate you guys, man. And hey, listen, go Doors tonight, man. I'll be in the building. I got to see Michaela Blake.
Let's go.
Absolutely.
And Aubrey Colvin and the group, man. I got to see them all. And Willie, you know what time it is come Thursday.
Oh, yeah, airbender. The airbender's going to come out. We're going to forget about Edward Diaz and his decision. We got the airbender now.
Forget about Diaz.
No more Timmy Trumpets. Let's get a new theme song. Yeah.
It's all about Devin Williams.
Thank you, TD.
Just check back with us, guys, in May, and you know we could be singing our sorrows. But you know,
Willie's got the Mets hat on.
I do.
He's in the spirit.
Come on, I got my Vanderbilt shirt on underneath too. I'm
ready representing
for the
everything.
I'll be watching the Commodores tonight.
Representing everything. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, so I put the grid together for the show every day, and for the upcoming segment, I have an alternate title.
I was very amused by this.
Everyone dunks on Adam. And you can do that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Preds fans, Smashville Live presented by Gary Force Acura returns Wednesday night at 6 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Live from Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. Meet your Predators players up close and personal. You can also get autographs and pictures. The guests this week, Ryan Ufko and Zachary LaRue. That's Ryan Ufko and Zachary LaRue this Wednesday night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue, and only on 102.5 The Game.